Bhagavad Gita as it is, transcendental knowledge, text 42. Tasmadagana sambhutam. Ritstam jnana sanatmanaha. Chidvainam samshayam yogam. Atishto tishta bharata. Tasmat. Therefore. Ajnana sambhutam. Born of ignorance. Ritstam. Situated in the heart. Jnana. Of knowledge. Asina. By the weapon. Atmanaha. Of the self. Jitva. Cutting off. Enam. This. Samshayam. Doubt. Yugam. In yoga. Atishta. He's situated. Utishta. Stand up to fight. Bharata. O descendant of Bharat. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Purport. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possessions is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When it comes to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely, understanding one's own self or one's constitutional position and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. And such understanding is beneficial. Such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord Himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless, and is considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy and household life, controlling the senses, practicing mystic yoga and penance, foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Parnashram Dharma. All these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita, but one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under the bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciple succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as is expressed in the Gita itself and beware of self-imposed people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person and His activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of the Bhagavad Gita. Tasmanagana sambhutam ritstam gyanachanatmanaha chidvayanam samshayam yogam atishto tishta bharata. Therefore the doubts which have risen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by a weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand in fight. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna that although I want to do my duty, but somehow or another I can't do it. Or I'm forced in some other way. So what is that force? Arjuna says, Arjuna vacha stita pragyasya ka bhasha. Actually, that's not it. Atakeno priyukto yam papam charati purusham anicca napivarshneya balariva niyojitaha. Therefore, Arjuna asks, now what is the force that causes me to do something which I don't want to do? O descendant of Virginia, by what one is impelled to simple acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? So Krishna's answer is Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudvavaha, Mahashino Mahapatma, Vidyanam Ihavarina. That is lust only, Arjuna, born in contact with the material mode of passion, and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Gumena vriyate vanir, itardara shomalena cha, itobin avrita garvas, tata tenetam avritam. As fire is covered by smoke, as the mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. So there is an energy called lust, kam, and it serves two purposes. One of them is called avaratmika shakti, and the other is called prakatmika shakti. One is the covering potency. So that covering potency puts us in ignorance. And the impelling potency, avrita gyan etena gyanino nityavarina kama rupena kuntia dusprena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So not only we're covered so we don't see things properly, but also we're impelled to act according to a certain mode of material nature by the force of lust, greed, anger, delusion, forgetfulness, etc., or madness. So these material nature acts in two ways. One is to cover our consciousness so we see things according to the modes of material nature, and the other is to impel us to act according to that vision, according to the modes of nature that we've acquired. And that perpetuates our material entanglement. But here it says, in this fourth chapter, that one should try to understand the process by which we can get free from ignorance. Because ignorance is the root cause, avidya. Ignorance, because we don't see things properly, and because we're influenced by illusion, for the very thing that's covering us, therefore from avidya we acquire asmita, or the false ego. So we're walking around in a bubble called the false ego, thinking that we're this material identity, whatever various identities we think we are, male, or a certain nationality, certain age. We're just full of all kinds of upadis, or designations. And as long as we have those designations and we identify with the body, then our tendency is to act according to our senses and mind, their impulse. So from when we acquire a false ego, then automatically there's raga and dvesha, there's attachment and aversion. And we act according to them, then we get what's called abhinivesita. We get fearful, just like nowadays everyone is fearful. They're going to die. Someone's going to sneeze on them and then they'll be they're finished. Or if someone sneezes 3 days ago and it's still in the air, just waiting for an innocent victim to walk by. So this is called Abhinivesita, believing that with the destruction of this body, then we're finished, and that's the end. So people are very fearful of what's going to happen. That's Abhinivesita. Now, as it starts with Avidya, and in a different way in this third chapter, Krishna is explaining it from a different point of view. Indriyani Manobudira Asya Dishanam Uchite Aitari Mohayesha Gyana Avritti Dehinam. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So how we get entangled, it all begins with hearing. When we hear about the glories of sense gratification, which is what modern material world is based on, either positive or negative, now we hear in the fear of death because of some virus is going to pervade the entire universe and kill everyone. There's like, I think, 20 cases in Slovenia and everything's closed down. Probably more people will die from a bicycle accident. They haven't outlawed the bicycles yet. So this is called avidya. So everything, but where does that avidya come? It comes from hearing from ignorant people. And then when we hear about the glories of material existence, positive or negative, then the mind becomes the repository of all kinds of material desires. In other words, hearing, and then the mind, the soul, becomes attached to these ideas, and the mind becomes the repository of all kinds of material ideas, because we become attached to them, material nature supplies them to us. And then the senses become agitated by lust. So lusty intelligence, and then the mind's agitated with all kinds of desires, the senses are agitated, and then the soul is being impelled to do something to gratify his senses. Now, if he has spiritual knowledge, he'll simply tolerate the urges and try to fix the mind on something spiritual. If he has no spiritual knowledge, then he'll simply look for the means of gratifying his senses. And when he, therefore, lusty intelligence, or looking for the means to gratify the senses, influences the soul to acquire a false ego, by which he identifies himself with his mind and senses for sense gratification. And then the soul thinks about gratifying his senses. He feels lust and anger and greed and feels impelled to do it. Then he wills to carry it out with the senses, and the material nature satisfies his desire by Krishna's arrangement of having the senses perform different activities. It's all going on the platform where the soul is interacting with the mind, material desires, and becoming influenced by material conceptions due to ignorance and material impulses due to the nature of lust and greed and anger. And then the soul becomes more and more deluded, and he loses his memory and his intelligence, and he becomes impelled ever more to act according to the material conceptions that he's receiving if he doesn't have any proper discrimination. So that's the state that, especially Kali Yuga, is very prominent. Ignorance is propagated everywhere. And people they've lost their intelligence, so they can't really perceive things very intelligently, because their intelligence has been taken away by their sinful activities, by illusion. Or, we could say, by continuously contemplating objects, developing attachment for them, becoming influenced by lust and then by greed and by anger, they become more and more covered by delusion. They've lost their real memory and their intelligence, real intelligence, has been taken away. Instead, they've simply become, their intelligence was substituted by avidya, or ignorance, or reality. They have intelligence, but it's all under the heading of avidya, or ignorance, maya apriti jnana, whatever intelligence. They, usually they're mudhas. They have no intelligence to begin with. Their only interest is in eating and sleeping. But if there's some people who are somewhat civilized, their intelligence is taken away by sinful activities. And if some people are a little bit more austere, they tolerate a little bit, and they became a little bit more intellectual, so-called, their intelligence is taken away by false information. And even if they become to the platform of controlling their senses and becoming self-realized, so to speak, or realizing something beyond sense gratification and mental speculation, generally they think themselves to be God. They think themselves to be the center of the universe. Therefore, avidya, ignorance, can be taken away by hearing about Krishna and hearing about utilizing the senses in a practical way of engaging them in Krishna service. So that when the senses are engaged in Krishna service, then Krishna is added. And when Krishna is there, then the darkness of avidya, which includes lust, anger, and greed, and everything else, is gradually dissipated according to how much we're able to concentrate our minds upon Krishna and how steadily the intensity and the steadiness and the attitude of devotion, when Krishna appears there steadily with absorption and with a proper attitude of devotion, then all the different coverings of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, they gradually burnt away, and one can actually perceive Krishna in the ecstasy of devotion, as well as one can see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. And then therefore there's no more avidya. Avidya simply means to believe that we're this body and that there's something else other than Krishna. And that makes one fearful. If one forgets Krishna, then one will identify oneself with one's gross and subtle material bodies and be influenced by the impulses arising out of the modes of nature and always be fearful that I might die. Some germ might get me. Car will get me, or something's coming to get me. So this is nothing new. Every materialistic civilization has existed on fear, the fear of death. That's the main factor, and the main influence in the material world is fear. Everyone's trying to avoid death. Deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyeshva satsupi tesham pramatam nirdhanam pashanapi napashiti. Deha, the body, apatya, the children, kalatra, the wife. There are the soldiers, sanyeshu, to protect my body from death. We may think it's love or whatever else that brings people together, but it's really the ultimate urge for survival, the main thing. That I love you, I love if you can protect, make me, help me survive. They have children because the children will grow up and maintain them in their old age. They'll be their soldiers. They get a dog to bite strangers who come to invade their kingdom. So it's all fallible soldiers. Everyone's trying to get some soldiers to protect them from the inevitable death. But Pashanapina Pashit, ultimately everyone dies anyhow. Spending so much time trying to avoid death, and no one ever avoids death. So it's a waste of time. It's not that we're trying to bring about death on. as quickly as possible. It's going to come quick enough. You don't have to bring it on any quicker. It's going to come. But in the meantime, we try to utilize the valuable human form of life, the valuable time in the human form of life, to get free from ignorance by taking shelter of Krishna. And the process of actually becoming conscious of Krishna. Because the more we become conscious of Krishna, the more our ignorance will go away. And our ignorance going away means that we'll realize we're eternal and we're eternally related to Krishna. And then there's no more fear. Then there's no more material attachment and aversion. There's no more false ego. There's actually vidya, or real knowledge, real consciousness. And then real life begins. It all depends upon our desire. And a desire depends upon our intelligence, and intelligence depends upon who we're hearing from and what our grasp of the information is, what our vision of the information is, what our practical application of that information is, and how much absorbed we become in that practical, how expert and discriminating we become and the application of that knowledge in a practical way. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Just see how easily they can shut down the whole civilization. With just a little propaganda, people have no way of doing anything. Anyhow, they can't. What can they do? It's the karma of the current civilization, the collective karma. So many animals are being killed every day. So many different types of intoxication are being consumed. So many different types of illicit sex are going on. So much time. So much speculation. Gambling is going on, so this is the collective karma. But we have something we can do. We can become Krishna conscious in any circumstance. So we have something to do, at least positive, in any circumstance. And everyone else, no matter if they were all joyful, dancing in the street, wouldn't do them any good either. As long as they're engaged in sinful activity, they have to get sinful reactions. Of which sinful leaders is part of their sinful reactions. Anything else? Any questions, comments? So, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.